I want to talk this week about Jesus, the leper toucher. And Jesus meets us in the midst of difficulty and in the midst of brokenness, in the midst of just our mess. And so we're going to be going to the book of Luke, and we've been kind of journeying through the book of Luke, and I've called it walking with Jesus, because I think that's the best way to walk, and it's the best way to live. And just again, one of the things we've been encouraging a lot is just this sense of community and togetherness, and even facing some of the difficulties of life together. And as a picture of that, yesterday I was just wrestling through some of this stuff that I had mentioned, and just, you know, wrestling through that with the Lord. And we had a baby shower here yesterday for Hannah, and it was awesome. It was really well done, and we had a really, really great time. And I was talking to Gene before we left. We come up here, and I was just weeping. We were praying and talking and just seeking the Lord in the midst of all of this stuff. And I was just thinking, like, that's a beautiful picture of what community really is and really is supposed to be, that it's people doing life with each other, facing some of the difficulties of life with each other, holding each other up, and looking to God as our foundation and as our rock in the midst of it. And so I just want to encourage you, whatever it is that you are facing and going through, just continue looking to Christ, who is our rock and our foundation. One of my favorite things, and we're in the book of Luke right now, but in the book of John, one of the really cool themes in the book of John is just this come and see. And so Jesus wasn't like really forceful with people. And one of the things that I love about Jesus' ministry is that when Jesus would minister, like he didn't try to force people to follow him. He didn't try to force people, you have to believe this, or you have to make sure you say all the right things or do all the right things. In the book of John, there's this just come and see that happens, where when people were being introduced to Jesus, the followers of Christ, you know, they were asking all these questions, and they would say, well, just come and see. And people would get around Jesus long enough and start to go, he is who he says he is. Like, he really is the Messiah. He really does have the answers. And so the reason I say all that to say, no matter where you are today, maybe you're kind of on the fence with what you believe, I want to encourage you, just stick around the community of faith, because I really believe you're going to experience Christ and who he is and what it means to know him. And he's amazing. And one more thing before we jump in, just as a praise report, most of you know that we've been planning to help get a church planted in Martin Falls, which is a First Nations reserve. I think it's about 400 miles from here, so it's a fly-in only. And we have to raise quite a bit of money to be able to do that, because we're going to have to fly in and out of the reserve like once every 4 or 6 weeks. And there's a church from the East Coast, they just called us this week and said, hey, God's blessed us this year. We actually had more come in through our giving than we expected, and we want to send you guys $8,000 to get started with this thing in Martin Falls. And so, yeah, so it's like kind of cool. It's not kind of cool. It's really cool and super exciting. Right, Yvonne? And so, yeah, it's exciting, and we're seeing God do some really neat things as we step out. And so we're just believing God for some really big things. And so I just want to just encourage you, be praying. And looking for ways to get involved and jump on board, because it's exciting to be a part of what God is up to, because he does amazing things. So yeah, I want to talk this morning about Jesus the leper toucher. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about what it means to be a leper, so that we're clear on what a leper is. But first off, I just want to tell you a little story. A couple years ago, when I was at Kingswood University studying pastoral ministry, I had a chance to go to Haiti with a missions team. And so Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Like, there is incredible poverty in the country of Haiti. And so when you are watching TV and you see, you know, little boys and girls come on the screen who are starving, like, those are the kinds of things you see in Haiti. Hannah had a chance to go. She actually went the year before I did. Our school used to go there pretty regularly. And while I was there, the guy that was like our missions leader, he took us to the Mother Teresa home for the dying. And so it was a really good opportunity to be able to go to this place where people are suffering in crazy ways. And so this home was like the last stop for people. So anybody that was at this Mother Teresa home for the dying was not going to make it for very much longer. Like, it was always just the last stop. And so this ministry was set up to try to help these people die in peace and in dignity. And so it was a tough place to go into. And when we were there, one of the things that we were asked to do as a team was to just be with people. And most of the people that were there wanted to be touched because they just hadn't had physical touch or physical contact in so long. And a lot of them knew that they were close to dying. And so some of our team, I got to do this, ended up spreading lotion all over some of these people. And some of these people were like 65 years old, and they were down to like 70 pounds, 80 pounds, like just really small. And we were, you know, putting lotion on them. And anyway, I finished up putting lotion on this one person, and I went over to talk to this other guy who had tuberculosis. And I didn't realize that he had tuberculosis at the time, but I was sitting at his bedside talking to him about Jesus. And then someone told me that he had tuberculosis. And I remember while I was talking to him just kind of being really nervous because I knew that tuberculosis is airborne and it's pretty easy to catch. And I had all these thoughts of like, well, I really want to minister to him and show him the love of Jesus, but like, I don't want to get tuberculosis. And I'm not a medical doctor, so I have no idea what that might mean. And while I was sitting and talking to this guy, there was a 70-year-old retired doctor. He was a Catholic man from somewhere in the States, and he came and he was serving this guy medically. And so he's a doctor. He was retired from being a doctor in the States, but he was spending the last years of his life being a doctor to these people in this home in Haiti, this Mother Teresa home for the dying. And he was such a like energetic, charismatic personality, like just a great guy. I really loved him. And I think, I don't know if he could tell that I was nervous or what, but he was telling me, you know, like, this guy's got tuberculosis. And then he looks at me and he goes, but don't worry. Like, if you catch it, it's not a big deal. I've caught it before, and I got over it. It was fine. And I was like, okay, well, I guess it's fine then. But I was just so taken in by his love. Like, most people are, myself included, are nervous when you get in situations like that because you're thinking of your own safety, and you're thinking of like, what's that going to mean for me? And I watched this man who really, he could have he was a doctor in the States. Like, he probably had a ton of money or could have had a ton of money, but he wasn't living for that. Like, here he was serving in Haiti in this Mother Teresa home for the dying with medical equipment that was nowhere as near up to the standards that he was probably used to working with, but just showing love to people, touching them, reaching out and spending time with them. And it was incredible. And I was like, I was so challenged by that. And I thought about that as I was getting ready to talk about this story in the book of Luke, Jesus, the leper toucher. And it's a really powerful story of this encounter Jesus has. But I want to point something out in this story as the first thing. And so you can bring up the first slide. So in the book of Luke, Jesus is more, like the author of the book of Luke has a real strong focus and emphasis on outcasts. So back in these days, women were the lowest of the low, and slaves were the lowest of the low, and Gentiles, which means people that are just not Jewish, right? Jamie knows this stuff. So a Gentile is a person who's not a Jewish person. And so Luke, of all the four Gospels, has this really strong emphasis on the outcasts. And so I want to point this out because it's really important to understand kind of the context of the story. But in Luke 4, verse 43, what we're going to talk about today is the second one, Luke 5, verses 12 through 16, where a leper is cleansed. Last week, if you remember, which I know you probably don't. that's the thing about preaching. I get so excited, I'm like ready to preach, and I'm like, you know, it's hard to remember from week to week. You probably don't remember what we talked about 3 weeks ago, but hopefully God really spoke to you in that moment and challenged you, but we're not going to remember every detail. But last week we talked about Peter and his encounter with Jesus. And so in Luke 4, verse 43, Jesus says, and so this, the reason I put this up on the slide, I want you to see kind of what's happening in this section of the book of Luke. So Jesus is like going and he's performing all these miracles, and people are drawn to Jesus. They're being healed, they're being set free, they're experiencing life, they're experiencing community, they're experiencing joy, and all of these incredible things are happening. And the people come up to Jesus and they're like, hey, Jesus, just stay here. Like, be with us in this town. Be with us in our community. Don't leave. We love what's going on. You need to stay here. And so Jesus says, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. Okay? So he says that, And then in this section of Luke where we're looking at right now, these four stories happen right after Jesus says that. Okay, and then the next verse here, Luke 5, verse 31 and 32, the story we're going to finish with, a dishonest man becomes Jesus' disciple in a couple weeks. That's the story about Matthew, the tax collector. Right at the end of that story, Jesus says to the crowds this time, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so there's this literary device happening in Luke where Luke is showing us what Jesus means by proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. So you got to realize, like, when these gospel writers wrote, they had a certain style that they wrote with. And when you recognize what's going on, you can kind of see the message that comes out of what's happening in this passage. And so what Luke is emphasizing is Jesus is saying, I must proclaim the good news to of the kingdom of God. And then there's these four stories, and then Jesus says it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. So these four stories are absolutely incredible, and you and I can relate big time with what goes on in these four stories. So Jesus is God. He could have come as a judge. He could have come to condemn the world if he wanted to. It doesn't take long for us to start feeling bad about ourselves, right? Like if we start thinking about our past, it's easy to feel shame. It's easy to feel like, man, I've just messed up so many times. I've done so many things wrong. Jesus could have came and pointed to all of those things and made us feel worse about ourselves. But he doesn't. He came to set people free. He came to show people you can actually be forgiven of your sins. You can be cleansed of the gross disease that's held you back. You can be set free from your greed. You can be absolutely set free and made right with God. And so that's what's happening in these four stories that right in a row. So Peter recognizes his sin and says, Jesus, I don't deserve you. And Jesus says, Peter, you're going to come with me and become a fisher of men. He gave Peter a whole new life purpose. This leper is cleansed. And there's a paralyzed man we'll talk about next week who's forgiven and healed. And a dishonest man who becomes Jesus' disciple. And so these stories, Luke is showing you and I what Jesus meant by the good news. So what does the gospel mean? When Jesus says, no, I've got to go to these other towns and tell them the good news, Luke wants you and I to know what Jesus means by that. And so these stories that are all right after one another are actually stories that relate to you and I right now, today. These are the things that we read about that Jesus did in the lives of these people 2,000 years ago, but he wants to do these things in our lives right now. And so it's a really powerful section of Scripture. And I just want to point out before we read this text, the common denominator, and you can go back to that slide just for one second, the common denominator in all of these people is that they placed their faith in Jesus. So all of them had difficulties, all of them had a mess, okay? So Peter was a sinful man. This leper had this disease that was incurable. Okay, the paralyzed man, his legs are paralyzed, he can't move. And Matthew's a tax collector, he's dishonest. And so what I want you to realize as we're talking about this is that there's all kinds of people that come from situations like this that don't experience a touch from Jesus. And Jesus points that out in his ministry. You know, there's lepers that don't get healed. There's dishonest tax collectors who don't experience the forgiveness and grace of Christ. So the difference in the lives of these people was that they put their faith in Jesus. And that's what we're going to see. And so faith, and I've been thinking about this a lot, maybe because I was getting ready to talk about it this weekend, but faith, one of the words I think that describes faith the best is just trust. So putting our trust in God. And so what these people did was they didn't have all the answers and they didn't have everything figured out, but they just got to the point where they said, they looked at Jesus and said, I can trust him. You know, there's people in the stories of Jesus touching other people's lives where they said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So they were like, I don't have a whole lot of faith. I don't have like this great big amount of faith like I feel like I'm supposed to, but I have a little bit and I'll put it in you, but just help the part of me that doesn't believe yet. And so maybe that's where you are this weekend, where you're like, yeah, I believe, or I'm starting to trust Jesus, or I think it's possible. I would encourage you just fully, wholeheartedly, both feet in, put your faith in Jesus. These people put their faith in Jesus and experienced incredible things. So I want to read, it's just five verses, Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. So this is Jesus, the leper toucher. It says, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. This is really cool. I always think it's funny. Jesus will do this incredible miracle. So he heals a leper, by the way, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, was like a very visible disease. Like if you had leprosy, everybody knew it. And there was actually a law, a Jewish law, that said that you had to run through the town screaming, "Unclean, unclean," and you had all these sores, and you had to grow your hair on your face out, and your hair on your head, you had to grow out, you had to look the part, right? So everybody knew that you were this unclean leper, this person to stay away from. And I love Jesus, because he'll like heal somebody like that, and he's like, "Don't tell anyone," right? And then you always read in the next like passage or whatever, and the news about Jesus spread everywhere. Because how do you keep something like that a secret? Like if you've been a leper forever and you've never been able to touch people, you've never been able to have physical contact, you've never been able to have a hug without being shoved away or pushed down, like how do you keep that a secret, right? And so Jesus would say, you know, don't tell anybody yet. And they couldn't help it. They would go out and just like spread the word to everybody, like, "Look what Jesus did. Like I've been healed, I've been set free, I've been delivered." And so people were hearing about him like crazy. On the next slide, I just want to show you a picture. There was all kinds of pictures on Google of leprosy, but I would have had to give you a lot of warning for some of them. It would have horrified you, some of the pictures, okay? So this one's a little bit milder, but this guy on the right, your right, my left, is a leper in Jesus' day. And so this was a disease that was incredibly obvious. And, you know, there's people today that have conditions similar to leprosy. I had an opportunity a year or two ago to go on a mission trip to New York City. And when I was in New York City, we worked with some ministries that reached out to homeless people specifically. And I learned while I was with one of these ministries that there are actually 70,000 homeless people on the streets of New York. 70,000. Did you know that in the U.S. that you have to have 50,000 people to be considered a city? So if there's a town in the U.S. that gets to the point where it's 50,000, it's no longer a town, it's a city. And so while I was in New York, I realized like there's literally a city's worth of homeless people inside of the city of New York. And some of the people we'd walk by, and our job that week was just to love people with the love of Jesus. And some of the people we'd walk by, like you could tell they hadn't got up from their spot in days and that they'd been using the washroom in that spot for days. And in the city of New York, people just are walking by and it's kind of something that becomes the norm for most people, right? And people stay away from people like that a lot of times. But this story of this leper is a story of somebody that was like that, that most people stayed away from, but Jesus actually reaches out. In this story, Jesus reaches out and touches this leper. Do you know that as I was getting ready and studying this, like there's actually stories around Jesus' time of rabbis. And so a rabbi was just a teacher, so he'd be like a pastor. Back in Jesus' day, and they would brag about how they treated lepers. Some of these rabbis would literally throw rocks at the lepers. If they saw them coming in the town, like they would throw rocks at them to make them go away. One rabbi said that if he went to the market and a leper was anywhere in the vicinity, he wouldn't even buy an egg from the market because a leper was somewhere near. Like that's the stigma that was around these people. Like they were just ostracized. They were considered the lowest of the low, the worst of the worst, the dirtiest of the dirty, the most unclean you could possibly be. And actually, there was this fear because leprosy was a disease that you could catch by contact, and so people were just horrified to touch them. And in the Mosaic Law, if you did touch somebody who had leprosy, you became what's called ceremonially unclean. But the most incredible thing, and I love this about the story, is that Jesus breaks all of the traditions. He breaks all of the rules of the day. He reaches out, he touches this leper. Right? But instead of Jesus becoming unclean because of this man's uncleanness, the leper becomes clean. And so a lot of times we think of that like, I can't get around sin, or I can't get around those people, I can't get around that bad crowd because it's going to rub off on me. But when you're filled up with God's Holy Spirit, like Jesus is, you get around uncleanness, and when you touch that uncleanness goes away. And so this means something. There's two things that it means. Like, maybe you're here today and you're wrestling with some of the things from your past. You're wrestling with shame. You're wrestling with some of the things that you know that you've engaged in or done that you just wouldn't want to tell anybody. I want to say to you that in the midst of that, Jesus is there. And you could go through your life and never experience his grace that brings the transformation if you continue to refuse to just trust him. The reason this leper experienced what he did was because he came bursting through the crowd and he came up to Jesus and said, Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And so when Jesus touched him, he was clean. So I want to encourage you, whatever it is in your that you can think of in your life that would make you think, well, I'm not worthy, that's a lie and it's not true. But Jesus is not intimidated by the mess and the things that have gone on in your life. And that in fact, when he reaches out and touches you, you're cleansed. It doesn't make him dirty. The second thing, maybe you're somebody who's followed Christ for a long time. Sometimes it's tempting to look down our noses at people who are, you know, doing things that we're like, why are they living that way? Why are they doing that? It's easy to be condescending or judgmental. But if we're going to be like Jesus, we can't be that way. Jesus, when people came to him that, you know, were like this leper, he reached out and touched them. Like, what a challenge that is for us. The reason that when I was sitting beside this guy that had tuberculosis, the reason I didn't get up and leave, the reason I was there in the first place, because I was like, well, this is what Jesus would do. I did have a lot of fear about coming into contact with something that could affect me. But I was like, but if Jesus has called me here, I've got to trust him in the midst of this situation. Right? And that goes, and that's kind of easy when it's something medical, but maybe there's people you can think of that you just, there's some things in their life that you're like, that's horrible, or they're far from God because of this, or this. And I would encourage you to be like Jesus in how you approach people. And so Jesus is this leper toucher, okay? And so that's kind of what I'm talking about this week. Jesus is a leper toucher. And we love that about Jesus. When we preach that way today, well, Jesus loves the outcast. He loves the ones that are dirty. He loves the ones that are just far away from society. We love those things about Jesus. But Jesus was not killed because he was a healer. Jesus was also somebody who walked in truth in an incredible way. Not with condemnation, not with being judgmental, but he also was someone who spoke the truth. And so I want to talk a little bit about Jesus being the leper toucher, because I think it's important for us to see this compassion, this incredible side of Jesus. But I want to talk also a little bit about Jesus being someone who speaks truth. And so on the fourth slide, says, this leper knew that he could approach Jesus. Okay, so, and the question I want to ask, like, what made the leper think that he could come close to Jesus? And would a leper know that he or she could approach you? When I was, like, getting ready to study the story, I was thinking about, in those days, okay, and so it's important to remember, like, what's going on in the story. Lepers were the outcasts of society. Like, they could not approach anybody else because they were considered unclean. They were considered disgusting. And especially somebody from the religious community, they couldn't approach that person. What was it about Jesus that made this leper know he could approach him? Right? And this always gets me because I think about how we communicate the truth, how we communicate the gospel. Is the way that I live and the way that I talk about God, do I do it in a way that if someone who's struggling big time would know that they can come and approach God? Like, Jesus went about ministry and went about loving people and touching people in such a way that this leper confidently ran up to him. He confidently approached Jesus. In the midst of his mess, in the midst of his grossness, he just knew he could run up to Christ. And my question is, do we live for God? Do we communicate about God's love and God's grace in a way that people that are struggling with really difficult things would know that they're safe to come and approach God and even come maybe here in this congregation and join what's going on without being condemned or looked down on? And is that something that we do? And so Jesus, and I love the way that Jesus speaks to people because he speaks with an incredible authority. But the leper, The leper had faith. And when I talk about Jesus was somebody that the sinners knew they could come to him. The people that had disease knew they could come to him. Everybody knew that they could come to Christ. But not everyone did. Because Jesus, he has this way about him where he accepts us no matter what our background is. He accepts us no matter what mistakes we've made. He accepts us no matter what messes are in our life. But, as you, and I pointed out earlier, in this story, all of the people that experienced God's grace, and we talked about it a couple weeks ago, we're going to talk about it the next couple weeks, all of these people responded and stepped out in faith. And what I want to encourage you with and ask you today is, are you coming to Jesus in faith? And what I said earlier about faith, really, one of the best words I can think of that describes faith is trust. And so trust means saying, Jesus, I place my life in your hands. So when we place our life in his hands, we release control to him. We actually give control of our life to Jesus. And what I find sad is that there are many that don't experience Jesus. You know, and Jesus tells this story, and he actually offended a lot of people. He tells a story, he said, you know, back in the days of Elijah, there was all kinds of lepers, and only one of them was healed. And he tells the story of people that didn't experience the healing touch of God. And what he was doing was he was challenging people, are you willing to place your faith in me? Are you willing to just trust and say, here, I surrender everything to you? Because I think, if we're honest, that a lot of us struggle with that big time. It's one thing to believe in God and say, yes, I believe that he exists. I believe that he's there. But it's a whole other thing to say, Lord, I just fully give myself to you. I trust you to be at work in my life. I don't know if I think I got off with the slides, but on the I think it's the sixth slide. It says, Jesus calls people who are willing to put their faith in him. You have been given a measure of faith. Will we put it in Jesus? And one of the things that I've learned from Scripture, and I really believe we're to base everything we believe on what God reveals in Scripture, but that we all have been given just a measure of faith. So every single person in this room has a bit of faith. We have enough trust that we can put that trust into someone or into something. And what I want to ask you this week is, have you put your trust in Jesus in the midst of some of the situations that are maybe coming to mind as we talk about this? Like, have you fully been able to just put your trust in God and take that step of faith and say, Lord, I'm giving this to you? Because for a lot of us, we don't do that. For a lot of us, we hold back where it's like, no, I need to be in control. I can believe in God, or I can go and be around people who are Christians or follow God, and I can sing the songs and kind of be there, but we know that we haven't fully given up control and released it to God and stepped out in faith. And, you know, Jesus says, there's 7 times in the New Testament where Jesus says, if you have ears to hear, then hear the message that I'm saying. And so what Jesus is saying is that there's all kinds of people that heard his words. There's all kinds of people that heard his message, but very few of them took what he said and responded to it in faith. And so Jesus was always beckoning people, like, if you have ears to hear, then hear. And what I want to ask you this morning are you hearing the words of Christ? Are you coming to a point where with everything that goes on in your life, all of these darkness things, all these things from the past and the dirt and the difficulties that you're saying, yes, I'm just going to trust you, Jesus? I've kind of a funny story that relates to this. I don't know why, but I've talked about a bunch of mission trips that I've had an opportunity to go on today. But a few years ago, I was in this, I was at lunch at Kingswood, where I used to go to school, and our missions leader, the guy that I went to Haiti with, he had an opportunity to go to Myanmar, which used to be called Burma. So it was a closed country up until about 10 years ago, lots of political unrest. And it was a brand new, he'd never been to Myanmar before, and he didn't want to do this trip through the school because when you do a trip through the school, there's all kinds of liability, right? So if he brings a bunch of Kingswood University students and something bad goes on, he could be sued big time, right? So it was kind of a risky trip. And he like handpicked two guys from the school that he was sitting with at the lunch table, and he was telling them about this opportunity to go to Myanmar. And for some reason, I was sitting nearby and I overheard, and it, like I heard about the risk, and I heard about like it was kind of, you know, maybe a little bit dangerous. And for some reason, I was like, that sounds amazing. Like, that just sounds like a trip I want to go on, right? And so anyways, but I wasn't being invited, but I had heard him talking, and I said, man, that sounds awesome. I'd love to go. And he looked at me, and he was like, well, I would love for you to go. He said, the only reason I never asked is because you've got a ton on your plate. Like, at the time, I was working at the university as resident director, and I had 4 kids, and I was studying full-time, and it was just, like, way too much going on. And so he said, he's like, the only reason I didn't invite you was because I knew you had a bunch on your plate. And I was like, well, I want to go. And so I committed to this before I even knew that it was possible. And to go, I had to raise like $4,500. And I was like, this is just impossible. There's no way this is going to work out. But for some reason, I just had this desire like I was supposed to go. And so I sent out a letter. Like, I quickly wrote a letter, and I just sent it out like on Facebook as a Word document to a bunch of people. And more money came in than I needed for the trip. I was actually able to help sponsor one of the other guys that was having a hard time raising this money. Like, it was this crazy, right? I was like, man, God is amazing. But like, when I hear Jesus say to those that have ears to hear, I think of those kinds of opportunities, that there's people that heard about that trip but didn't respond and didn't get the opportunity to go. And I think that it works that way with faith, that you can come and hear these kinds of sermons. You can come and read scripture and hear about how Jesus transforms people's lives and not respond in faith and not experience God's grace coming in and actually bringing change and transformation to your heart and your life. And it takes a response of faith. It takes saying, Lord, I trust you. Not just, well, I believe that it's possible or I believe it could happen, but just, Lord, I'm actually going to take the step. Like, it's a little bit scary, but I'm going to take that step. Like, you think about that leper, that he had to burst through a crowd of judgmental, condescending people to come up to Jesus and say, Lord, I know that if you're willing, you could make me clean. Well, I don't know why I think this way, but I always think, well, what about all those lepers that didn't do that? Because they were afraid of the crowds. They were afraid of what people thought. They were afraid of their past. They were afraid of all of these horrible things in their life. And so they didn't get to experience it because they didn't take that step of faith. And I don't want that to be the case for anyone here. And I just want to encourage you, if God has been speaking to you lately, or you're hearing some of these things from Scripture and you're going, maybe that could be true of me, I want to encourage you to take that step of faith. And I want to finish with this. And I got, you might have wondered why Gene brought me this blanket. It wasn't because I was cold. I do get cold a lot. And so that could have been it. But if you read in Leviticus, I think that was the slide that I skipped over, but it's in Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. It says, anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone, and they must live outside the camp. So that's from the book of Leviticus, and it's talking about a leper. And so what that meant was, lepers had to wear these ugly, gross, horrible blankets, and they grew their beard out super long, okay? And this is Terry and Jean's blanket, and I realize I just called it ugly. It's not, it's, it was just for dramatic effect, okay. Okay, good, all right. I forgot that I had asked Jean to bring that in, and then I said all those things about their blanket, and I thought, I hope this isn't like some family heirloom. that would have been awkward. Oh, it used to be their bedspread, back when it was really pretty. So it's torn, okay, and so you imagine somebody that grows their hair out really long and grows their beard out, okay, and they run through the city and they cry out, unclean, 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 okay? And that's what it was like to be a leper. And so this guy runs up to Jesus and says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. So Jesus, like you saw in the picture, he reaches out and he touches this leper. And the leprosy immediately leaves him. He's totally set free. All of it is gone. And for some reason, when I was getting ready to speak at a youth event a couple years ago, and I was thinking about that story, and I was thinking about this leper garment. And I was thinking about how a leper who'd experienced a miraculous touch from God, how they would have thrown off their leper garment. They would have got rid of it. It would have been gone, right? And I got thinking about, like, I wonder if that leper was ever tempted to go pick up his diseased blanket again and snuggle with it. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if that leper ever was like, oh, I miss my old leper blanket, and maybe I'll use it, you know, as a pillow. right? Like, that was obviously something that they got rid of and burned. Not that we would do that to this blanket, which is beautiful. But that was something that they got rid of, right? That, like, I don't think that that leper ever was tempted to go back to this old leper blanket and wrap themselves up in it again. And so what I want to say from that as I bring this to a close, that Jesus responds to people who take a step of faith, and he transforms their situations. He changes them. So what is it, you know, in your life that's a mess? You know, and the scriptures talk about things that we get ourselves tangled up in. And so whether it's sexual immorality, or whether it's gluttony, or lust, or greed, or something that we've just carried around with shame, when we take that step of faith and say, okay, Jesus, I am going to surrender my life to you. I'm going to acknowledge where I've been sinful. I'm going to acknowledge where I've been wrong, and I'm putting my life in your hands. And we receive this touch from God. We throw off those old things, and we experience the life-changing, transformational power of Jesus. And that's what I want to encourage you with today. Taking that step of faith doesn't mean that you're necessarily overnight totally healed from something. Sometimes it does happen that way. But it means acknowledging where something needs to be cast off and not picked up again. And so I don't know what God is stirring up in you as you think about this, but I just want to encourage you to even think about some of the things that maybe God has been bringing up where you're like, I've got some things in my life that are unclean. And you need to know you can come to Jesus. You don't need to live in shame and not come to him. But when you do come to him, you need to know that when Jesus reaches out and touches you and brings healing, that he takes those things away. He brings transformation. Jesus wasn't killed just for healing people. He spoke the truth, and sometimes it bothered people, and it was offensive. He died for our sins. He died for our wickedness. He died for our disease, for our dirt. But he rose again and conquered death and said that if we trust him, if we take that step of faith and say, Jesus, I don't even know how, but I just trust you, that he will touch us and bring transformation. That transformation is possible. If you think that you can't recover from some of the things in the past, it's a lie. It's a lie from hell. That when you receive a touch from Jesus, he brings transformation. And he wants to throw off that old garment and bring full healing and restoration. We're going to sing one more song. And I'm just going to pray while Tyler and Hannah come up. And I just want to encourage you. I don't know what the Lord's bringing up as we talk about this. But I want to encourage you to take that step of faith and trust in Jesus and allow him to do that transforming work in your life. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you that we can talk from Scripture about how you bring change and how you bring transformation, Lord. And as we look at the book of Luke, we see that Luke was trying to show us what you meant by proclaiming the good news. That Jesus, you proclaiming the good news wasn't just some feel-good message that just made everybody happy for a couple hours, but then they were back in their mess. That this good news, Jesus, that you talked about was that you brought freedom to people who were in captivity, that you brought healing to people that were caught up in disease, that you forgave people that were caught up in sin, that Jesus, you did those things then, but Lord, you're continuing to do that now. And God, I just pray that if there's any of us here in this room that this is bringing up some things in our life and we're going, yes, I need that healing touch, or I need to take that step of faith, that you would give us the boldness to take that step of faith. Just like that leper who was like, just broke through the crowd and said, Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. He had a lot to risk to go and do that, but he did it. And God, I pray that we'd have the boldness to take a step of faith and call out to you. We love you. I just want to continue to welcome your presence, God. We are incredibly filled with joy and anticipation at what you are doing in our midst. And we want to pray that that would continue in a powerful way. In Jesus' name.